The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. I'm doing everything I can to resist introducing Mara because she just took a big bite of a piece of fruit. So here is Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello.
How's it going, Jim?
Good, good.
Excellent. And how are the skies over by you now?
Well, they're clearing slowly. It's still kind of dark, but not as dark as it was. And the thunder has quit. It was thundering a lot.
The main thing that I was thinking when I saw this forecast was, you know, oh, goody, like the fourth time that flash flooding will be called for in Metro Detroit this season. But climate change isn't real. So let's just.
Oh, right. Yeah.
A hoax.
No, it's just coincidence, you know, just happens.
Just what we need, another underpass on 94 blocked for a whole week just because of water.
Well, that very well may happen.
Yep, it may. Going around the horn, we are visited in the lovely library of Professor Beth Oljar.
Hey, good to be here.
What's going on, Beth?
I'm sitting in my lovely library, you know, hanging out. Just chilling, being somebody, you know.
That sounds about right. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you're always somebody.
You're always somebody.
Always. Technically true. Yeah.
And maybe we'll be visited
philosophically
by a
somebody. Too. Yeah.
Yes, possibly Mia might make it since her bed is up here on my one end of my desk. We might get another visit from the little monster.
Got it. And I think Dave is just trying really, really hard to participate in the cat.
I need a cat.
Is that the Canadian Hello Kitty?
Cats are great pets. They're incredibly self-sufficient.
Luckily, your talk drawings don't translate very well to radio.
Thank goodness.
Professor Dave Chow, if you haven't figured that out, is also here with us today.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Thanks for reminding us how great that Cats movie was from a couple years ago. Yeah, thanks for that.
I'm going to see that in the double feature of Gigli, too, okay?
Best of all of the worst movies of all time.
Well, they are back together, so you know it must have
been. Well, it's true. I'm hoping that Professor Mara Livesey has made it X number of bites through her peach and she's ready to be introduced.
Absolutely. Hello.
Is it a peach?
It's a peach.
My eyesight isn't as
I thought it was a nectarine, but okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry you can't see the fuzz.
It looks peachy.
Fuzz is what's missing, yeah.
It's going great. I have some great news for all of y'all. Today, my youngest brother defended his PhD. So now all three Livesey children can be called Dr. Livesey.
Sweet.
Wow, that's impressive.
What was his dissertation about?
He talked all about the stabilization of epinephrine, which is the major constituent of the EpiPen, how to stabilize it with some type of metal complex.
Cool. Ooh, that's intense.
It was big intense.
Wow.
And all of you are in the sciences and some all your PhDs are in the sciences or
if you can believe it, older brother's in physics. I'm biochem. Youngest brother is technically chemistry, but inorganic.
So now which one of these is the goose guy that I drew the is this the guy?
No, it's my older brother.
Okay. Wasn't sure.
Unbelievable.
So you're the middle child in between two brothers. That must have been interesting and fun growing up.
Great, actually.
Now, if it were a younger and older sister, it would have been different. You know, Marsha. It's always about Marsha.
Those are the dulcet tones of Associate Librarian Chris McClanis, who's joined us here today as a guest panelist. Thanks for coming, Chris.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So we've got all sorts of fun things we're going to do on the show, but maybe you can let us know a little bit about you here. How long have you been at Detroit Mercy now, Chris?
I have actually been at Detroit Mercy since I was a student in the 80s. I became a student assistant in 1981 at the library, first in the stacks, then at the circulation desk. 1984 became a full-time circulation assistant. 1991, became a cataloging technician. Then 1995, right after I finished my library science degree, I was hired in as a librarian. And yeah, over half my life, it is daunting to think about.
What a sentence. Oh, I mean, what a career.
Thank you.
It's like Matt. I mean, you were a student and then came. I mean, how you made that happen, I'm not quite sure, but.
Neither can I, but Chris's numbers definitely outshine mine. And frankly, I think she's being a little modest because everybody at Detroit Mercy, who's anybody, knows that Chris is a union stalwart for the UDMPU. And yes, we thank you for your many, many decades of service, Chris.
Indeed. You're very welcome. Excellent. Glad to be part of that.
But of course, not all of our listeners know that you, Matt, as an alum, is also the author of our alma mater.
That is true. However, a lot of those things haven't happened in a long time or haven't had the chance of happening in a long time. So there's another wish for this upcoming year that we might be able to go to a few basketball games and, you know, soccer games and things like that. That would be nice. But hey, folks, this is a program where you send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Oh, my, look at this.
Uh-oh.
Dear panelists, silly me here nearly forgot to send you our family's latest round of questions for your fine show. So before I retire for the evening, here are 25 questions to keep your show cooking right along. We hope you'll have as much fun with them as we have crafting them for you. Warmest greetings from Valencia, California. It's our friend and his family, Frank Burrows.
Thanks. Yay, Frank!
Hooray!
I'm not seeing any theme in that paragraph, so unless there's something secret about Let's Get Cooking, so let's see what we can do with these.
I was wondering if they were going to be about cooking. If the questions are going to be about cooking, that would be really cool.
Oh, I'm hungry, too.
Right. He was born Reginald Kenneth Dwight, but we know him better as Elton John. When he changed his name to Elton John, what did he choose for his middle name?
He's got a middle name?
He does. And
he didn't just keep Dwight?
No.
Balfour,
no.
Maybe. But come on, Jim. I know you influenced him.
We have to be careful to remember he is Sir Elton John now.
Right.
That's true.
Elton.
Same as the most famous of the ancient Greek demigods?
Zeus?
Apollo? No. Wrong.
Mercury?
Nope. So demigod is, this would be like
a god and immortal, child of a god and immortal.
Hercules?
Hercules. Yeah, Mara hit it. Hercules. Elton Hercules John. Yep, sir.
It's a great
Elton
movie.
Sir Elton Hercules. Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Okay.
What state would you find, quote, the city too busy to hate, unquote?
Oh, isn't
it? Sounds like it's got to be in Minnesota.
It does, but once you find out what it is, it's going to take a little bit of a different meaning.
Jim, this sounds like it's in your neck of the woods.
No, isn't it like St. Louis?
No.
City too busy to hate.
Is it Midwest?
No, no.
You do know if we were back in the studio, we'd be looking up at the map right about now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
New York?
I had forgotten about that map. It's not New York.
Chicago?
No, you know, the best hint I can give you, if your Olympic memory is good, would have been Summer Olympics 1996.
Atlanta.
Because Atlanta, Georgia is the city too busy to hate. Yes.
It wasn't going to be Clawson, so.
No, and it wasn't Kego Harbor either. Oh, darn. Frankly, so.
I remember that Olympics because I defended my dissertation and came home and watched the opening ceremonies of that Olympic Games. And then the U.S. women took the gold medal. So that was really cool, too.
Right. Oddly, the first thing that jumps into my mind, so please forgive me, is the
bombing.
The bomber.
Yeah, exactly. So. It wasn't Richard Jewell. I just want to go on record. We did that in court. What company produces the greatest number of wristwatches?
Seiko, Timex,
Fossil.
Greatest Fossil number. Casio.
It is. It's Casio. Jim, okay. I was about to say, think 1980s calculator watches, and then you'd be there. But Casio.
Yeah, I mean, isn't Casio like famous for like making little kids' watches as opposed to like adult watches?
Well, they're sort of rubberized, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They're digital.
Yep. What soft drinks mascot, let's just call it like it is, it's Pop. What Pop's mascot is named Woody?
Verner's? The gnome?
Yeah, it is. Verner's. The Verner's okay. gnome is Woody the gnome. What do you think? He's cool.
I Woody's could deal cool. with it.
Never heard of Verner's till I moved here, so...
It's okay.
I didn't know that any pop had a mascot, so this is all new.
And of course, you know that Verner's is considered a medicinal pop right up there with Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Speaking of medicinal, did you hear that Mountain Dew is going alcoholic? It's going to be available in three flavors, original, I forget, one of them was like raspberry or berry or strawberry maybe.
Ooh.
And they're going to be 5% alcohol.
Yeah, you know, Mountain Dew has caffeine, so they're probably trying to compete with monster drinks also.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we didn't learn our lesson with Four Loko.
I knew that was going to come up too. Because I got to be honest, I just got back from vacation with my in-laws, and my 20s aged nephews are there, and they're doing White Claw a lot. And I'm like, guys, is there something I don't understand?
They're yeah,
like,
come on.
Yes, a lot.
Your uncle survived Zima, you know? I mean, come on, get over it.
Seriously.
Well, and Bartles and James wine coolers.
Oh, yes. They're wet and they're dry.
Thank you for your support.
I never figured out the attraction of Jägermeister. I just couldn't figure it out.
Professors, which U.S. president was the first to wear contacts while they were president?
Carter?
Mm-mm.
Clinton?
Nixon?
No.
JFK?
Obama?
It's fairly modern era, but I just haven't heard his name yet.
Bush?
Reagan?
It was Reagan is what it says here. Reagan was the first to wear contacts. Yeah.
Oh, well, he was an actor.
I was just thinking, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
Can't be bothered to wear eyeglasses, right?
Harms his look.
Wow, here's something I've been missing during the pandemic, and I know I brought this up before, and you all make fun of me, but I don't care. Who was the reality show Survivor's first season winner?
Somebody named Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Hatch. Richard Hatch, wasn't it?
Yeah, Richard Hatch. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Richard Hatch. That was his name.
Wasn't that also the same name as the guy that played Apollo on Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, there was an actor. I was just going to say there was an actor of that name that I recall. Okay.
Wow. All I'm saying is they, of course, even if they were remote and on an island or whatever it is that they do, they did not record for the last year and a half. So for the first time ever since the year 2000, doing two seasons a year. So season 42 coming up very soon of Survivor. Pretty.
I played the board game version of Survivor and Drew voted me off the island. So.
Oh, that's horrible.
Wow.
Well, he said you were the biggest threat, so I'm like, yeah. Okay.
Makes you feel good.
No, I mean, do you remember the old TV show Missing Link?
Oh,
you know, yeah. They kind of go around. Yeah, there's usually three contestants left, and they always vote off the smartest one. You know, when it comes down, you know, because you want the least competition. It's fair. It's take it as a compliment, Beth.
I thought it was a pretty good save. So
you tolerate them.
Professors, what Australian band released the album titled Business as Usual in 19?
Men at Work.
Mm-hmm. Men at Work, absolutely. In what body of water do you find the Belcher Islands, Belcher?
They should be near Australia, but probably
Belcher.
Actually, to be honest, relatively speaking, they're pretty close to where we are.
Oh.
The Detroit River.
A little bit further, Chris. A little bit
further. One of the Great Lakes?
Nope.
Oh.
Lake St. Clair.
Water.
No.
Or Lake Erie, for going further south. I know. Well, they're on process of elimination.
Okay.
I don't think they're not in Washington.
Nope. What's the largest body of water that's not a Lake Superior close to where we are right now?
Lake Michigan?
Nope. I'm looking for Hudson Bay is actually where it is.
Oh,
Hudson Bay.
Great, great store. Lake.
Yeah. Could have said West Point. That would have been a help, but.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry. Can you name at least two of the four Detroit Tigers minor league affiliates?
Lakeland.
Toledo Mud Hens.
Toledo Mud Hens.
West Michigan.
Yep. West Michigan Whitecaps.
And
Jim actually said Lakeland, or somebody did, the Flying Tigers. The only one you haven't mentioned are the Erie Seawolves.
Erie, yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Very well done. And I was trying to explain to my son the other day, no, the more A's, the higher the level of that team. The less A's, the lower the level. And they're like looking at me like, why didn't they just use numbers? This is dumb. Yeah.
Their logic is sensible to me, so.
Who is the only U.S. president who got married in a ceremony that took place in the White House?
Wilson.
It's not what it says here.
Grover Cleveland.
It says it's Cleveland. Yeah. I wonder, Beth, if that marriage might have taken place. I don't know. They're getting out on a technicality, like on the grounds or something.
They may not have been married in the White House, but I think he married her while he was president, right?
He did, but I'm sure he got married in a church.
Yeah. A whites only church, no doubt.
Bingo. Hey, you only have four choices, so it's perfect for multiple choice. Which of the Beatles was the shortest at 5'8"?
Ringo.
Ringo.
Says it was Ringo. Yeah. All the rest of the Beatles were exactly 5'11". Okay, that's kind of weird.
That is weird.
They would have made a great rowing team. Now how tall is Pete Best?
Oh, well, that's a completely different story.
Oh, darn. I was hoping there would be a follow-up.
Nope.
Not very, follow-up. I don't think.
Unless you call this question a follow-up. What country that only makes up 4% of the world's population buys 20% of the world's toilet paper?
Us.
It's the United States.
Yeah.
Good old.
Gotta get on that bidet train.
I didn't know there's a train for it.
Oh my god. How about this one? Semi-related to our good friends at the Detroit Zoo. What animal at American zoos has been most likely to injure its handlers?
Hippos.
I mean, hippos are pretty nasty to humans, right, Jim? But it doesn't say that here. I think the humans are keeping their distance.
Wait a minute. Is this a follow-up to, like, the Joe Mendy questions we used to get, Matt? I mean, is it chimpanzees? Well,
I can tell you this. It's not chimpanzee, but I know for a fact the Detroit Zoo has this animal on display.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Is it a bear or a big cat?
Nope.
Elephant?
Not an elephant.
Penguins.
No.
Those nasty little creatures.
Pandas? No, we don't have pandas. What am I thinking? What is black and white do?
That's the zebras.
What?
Zebras have injured more handlers in the history of American zoos than any other animal.
Is that saying something about the handlers or the animals? I mean,
but they're just horses that are painted with stripes, right?
It sounds, Beth, like my, I know there's an internet meme about this, but we pretty much do it every other night at the Mayo house because the only vegetables my boys will eat reliably are broccoli and cauliflower. And they refer to cauliflower as ghost broccoli. I'm like, you're not far off, but yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Ghost broccoli.
Who said, a very, very famous, recently passed away celebrity who loved to come and especially eat in Detroit, who said, your body's not a temple, it's an amusement park, we should enjoy the ride?
Well, Anthony Bourdain?
Yeah, it's Anthony Bourdain.
My beloved Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, poor Anthony Bourdain, we miss him. Yeah, it's kind of sad. Let's see if we can switch gears here. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, there is a very, very famous person. I think he's still alive. If he is, he's in his 90s. He amassed the world's largest collection of personal scrapbooks. I remember hearing about this. Your other hint will go towards Professor Livesey, because this person is intimately tied to his alma mater, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Who is this person? This person collected a world's record 2,396 personal scrapbooks.
It's Chris. Chris did it.
Right? On the line, I alums. You guys got to.
I'm sure I'm old enough, right?
Yeah. Come on, Chris. I know you have a section in the back of the library with all your scrapbooks. I know you do. Don't hold out on
them. Roger Adams?
No, but that's a good guess. No, this is actually a sort of a pop culture icon, because the other thing he gifted to the great university that was his alma mater was a mint condition issue of every one of the magazines that he published.
Not Elmore Leonard.
Mm-mm. Magazine published.
So this would be like a Time magazine or?
Well, if I tell you the magazine.
Playboy? Chris,
yes, there
Hugh
we
go.
Hugh Hefner?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know he was into scrapbooks. Huh.
That's kind of creepy.
Make you wonder about the pictures in those scrapbooks.
I can't imagine seeing him at Michael's picking up like pinking shears or anything like that.
I've never been more proud to be an alum.
What university has Tim the Beaver as its mascot? And this university brags about the fact that it has a mascot, but exactly zero sports teams.
Well, it can't be University of Oregon or Oregon State University. Yeah, then. But they are the Beavers. So
It's true.
What, like DeVry or somebody like that?
No, it's actually a very, very well-known and high-level R1 university, but they pride themselves on the fact that they'd rather be busy as beavers than playing sports. That's the key.
What?
MIT, Oberlin? Princeton?
Yeah, it's MIT.
Okay. I knew it wasn't going to be CCS, so I mean.
This 1984 Detroit Tiger player was once the roommate to a famous wrestler, Randy Savage, of all people. Who was he?
Oh, trivia. Was it Chet Lemon?
No.
Getting
close, though.
Who else was in the outfield with him?
Initials LH.
Larry Herndon.
I just love stories like that. Oh my God.
Randy Savage and Larry Herndon. Does it say what alma mater they went to?
No, actually, it doesn't have that detail, but I'm taking this bit of trivia to my grave.
I love the fact that he also had that glove since he was a little kid, too. Mm-hmm. That glove was like paper mache by the time he got to the bigs. I mean, it's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Now, Frank and his family have done something pretty incredible here. I'm just trying to be mindful of the time. They have a list of the world's 20 most populous cities, and they want us to name any 12. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shave that down just a little bit and see if on the first try we can get any one of the top 5 most populous cities in the world.
Tokyo.
Beijing.
Neither of those are in the top 5 of the world's most populous cities.
Shanghai?
Incorrect.
Oh. New Delhi, someplace in India, right?
Mahalo.
There is no Indian city in the top 5.
What?
Yeah, Brazil would be my next guess, right? Someplace.
Sao Paulo?
Not Sao Paulo, but
Rio?
Rio de Janeiro. Brazil is the world's most populous city with over 13 million. And just to be clear, city proper. So the suburbs add to that, right? So it's incredible. But the remaining list in the top 5 is Tianjin, China, Manila in the Philippines, Kinsha, which is in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Lagos is a very healthy over 14 million people in Nigeria. Incredible.
Absolutely. Good grief.
Oh my gosh, what have I done?
What have you done?
Nope, I've done a horrible, horrible thing by not flipping the page.
Oh,
so yeah, you guys got it all completely correct. And you got it in the order that it was presented here. So you're all way, way smarter than me. What am I thinking? Tokyo, Japan, 37.4 million city proper. Okay.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Delhi, India, 30.2 million. Shanghai, 27.1 million. Sao Paulo, 22. I mean, you literally got it in the order that it's presented.
Okay. Nice.
Wow. And something was weird.
Jeez, because I was like, so don't make us feel dumb, Matt.
God. We already do.
But the follow-up trivia, which will hopefully erase my horrific error, is where does Detroit come in on the world's most populous city list?
We're way down.
What number?
875.
837th. Oh, okay. Which celebrity holds the single day winnings record on Celebrity Jeopardy, leaving the show after one play of $68,000? That's a pretty healthy haul for Jeopardy.
Celebrity Jeopardy, huh? Like, yep. Anderson Cooper?
No, that's a good guess, but this is a 90s era comedian. The initials are A.R.
Andy
Richter?
Andy Richter. There we go. $68,000.
Wow.
I always have this theory on Celebrity Jeopardy. The questions always seem to be about two or three steps more straightforward than regular Jeopardy. I don't know if anybody's been watching recently, but all sorts of interesting controversies surrounding who the permanent host is going to be going forward.
Did you see who they chose?
Yeah, and then they rebooted it again because, of course, people have skeletons in their closet that they didn't.
No. I heard today that, you know, Mike Richards is chosen, and Miam Bialik? Is that
right?
She's doing a spinoff.
Right. There's going to be a syndicated Jeopardy for like the college tournament that actually will appear on different channels, so they can.
But Matt has a thing against her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if all of you have been watching all of them. Some have been better than others. LeVar Burton was actually a freaking joy to watch host. He was just sort of like so excited.
He was so happy to be there. Yeah.
Yep.
But there were other people like Mehmet Oz that I was just sort of like, let's just not watch that week.
I thought Miam Bialik did a good job.
Yeah.
On there.
Matt doesn't like her because why is it that you don't like her? She falsely claims to have a doctorate in chemistry. Is that it?
She has a degree.
Neuroscience.
Neuroscience. But she asked to be referred to as Dr. Miam Bialik, but she's not technically a practicing scientist. Ooh. So I'm just.
Did she get a PhD?
Does she have a PhD?
She has a PhD. She's just not practicing as a scientist.
Okay, well, if she has a PhD, she gets the doctor.
Yeah, you know, and I understand that it's a touchy subject. I'm just getting a little bit of a Dr. Laura vibe is the point.
I don't think there are too many other comparisons to be made there between her and Dr. Laura.
No. One more question before we have to slam dunk the end to me screwing up this giant list that started on one page and ended on another. Who are collectively Richard Bachman, Mary Westmacott, and Paul French?
Well, Richard Bachman is Stephen King.
So that's a good lead.
They're mystery writers.
They are writers, pseudonyms. So who is Mary Westmacott?
Like J.K. Rowling?
Nope.
A little bit.
No, Mary Westmacott was Agatha Christie's pseudonym. Okay. And I think I've learned something about most of you just by the fact that you didn't recognize Paul French. That was Isaac Asimov.
The French Party of Two. Gotcha.
Yes. Even though I screwed up a list of populous cities here, Frank and family, thank you very much for sending those in. That was pretty awesome. Profs, I'm afraid the time has come for us to say goodbye, Mara.
Toodaloo.
Dave.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Farewell.
Jim.
Goodbye.
And Chris.
Farewell.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.